and see what he has for us this morning. We're going to be talking about being like Jesus. Amen? Does anybody want to be like Jesus? Sometimes I wonder where we're at in our thought processes, because if we do not keep that in focus, that I want to be more like Jesus, we have begun to stray from the gospel. We've begun to stray from our example. Okay, and that's what I think when I started thinking on this topic for a series, the Lord began to lay it out there. And at first I knew of maybe two or three different angles or different directions or different things that Jesus had said or done. And one was on compassion and some of those things that I could see it pretty plainly in the scriptures. But I'll tell you, you can almost pick any topic for human living, for Christian living, and say, how could we be more like Jesus in a particular way? And there's scriptures, everything to back it all up. God just wants us to be more like his son. That's what that example, part of the reason for his example. So today we're going to talk about some family dynamics. I said we're going to talk about Jesus and his mother and some of those interactions. So before we get too far into it, let's pray. So Father God, we are thankful again to be here in your presence. We're thankful to be with your people. Thankful to be able to praise you and exalt you and worship you together. Thank you for that fellowship that is taking place right here and now. Thank you for your anointing this morning, Lord. I sense your power and your presence in this room to be able to minister, to be able to touch hearts, to be able to change lives just by sharing your word. So Father, I pray that as we've worshiped you and set our hearts right before you, that you are worthy of all that we have and our entire being is now laid down before you. I pray that you use this moment, Father, to speak into lives, to bring about God, Christ-like changes that will lead us in a path that you have laid out for us. Father, we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So some of my favorite stories from the Bible or passages and scriptures and things that make me chuckle, that kind of bring a smile to your face or that make me think about good things or create a good memory are the stories about interactions of Jesus with his mother. Okay, there's just something that took place between those two that it stirs me just a little bit. It's kind of like there's one that I told, I guess it was earlier in this series, about Mary and Joseph, and they went to the celebration in Jerusalem with Jesus. And after they leave, okay, they travel for a whole day or more down the road with their friends and family before they realize that Jesus, who they thought was somewhere out there hanging out playing with his friends or something, they realize that they get a day's journey down the road and Jesus was actually still back in Jerusalem teaching the elders in the church and hearing out from the doctors and some of those things in the temple. Okay, well, when his mom finally catches up to him, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but basically she says to him, "Didn't you know that we would be looking for you?" And Jesus' response was, "Didn't you know I must be about my father's business?" Okay, and I think of that as a typical teenage, you know, response or preteen age response. That mom comes and says, "What were you thinking? Didn't you know how this was affecting me?" And Jesus responds with another question of, "Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?" I think that when he said that, If you try to read on in that passage, you can't, because his question stopped the conversation. Okay, it was over right then and there. Okay, now that impresses me about Jesus. Okay, not that he was sassing his mom, because he really wasn't, but what impresses me is that with one statement, he was able to end that conversation. Okay, now how many of us would get into, we'll call it a heated discussion, okay, with our spouse or somebody else, a coworker or whatever, and you know, it's going back and forth, and each one of them is trying to say that one statement that'll just stump the other one and put it to an end, right? You're trying to win that discussion, so to speak. Well, Jesus, in all of his perfection, did that in one statement, one question that he asked. Okay, now there's something in that makes me want to be more like Jesus. Okay, how do you, not just to win arguments, that's not what I'm talking about, What I'm talking about is the way that he won that argument. It wasn't by saying something nasty. It wasn't by putting that person in their place and, you know, trumping his authority over her or anything like that. It didn't have that tone to it. Jesus ended that conversation without being mean, okay? Without being spiteful, without hurting his mom. He just simply answered a question with another question that literally summed up everything. Okay, put everything that needed to be said into one statement that ended that conversation so they could move on with their day. That impresses me. Okay, that it wasn't like, boom, I won this argument, now we can move on. It was just simply, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And off they went. Mary instantly knew what that meant. He knew that she would know, and the conversation ended. So when I see something like that, again, it just kind of stirs me inside. Again, I want to be more like Jesus. If he could have that conversation and play that out so simply without hurting anybody or anything else, that's more like how I want to be. Okay, another interaction with Jesus and his mom that brings a smile to my face is when Jesus and some of his closest disciples went to a marriage celebration. Okay, in a little place called Cana of Galilee. And Jesus' mom, Mary, was also invited to this same wedding. Okay, they knew the family. It ends up being one of the first recorded miracles of Jesus, many of you know, because the host of the wedding runs out of wine, and Jesus saves the day by turning some water into wine. Has anybody ever heard that story? Okay, Jesus turned water into wine, had them fill up the water pots. The governor of the feast or the head guy takes a drink and he says, wow, you saved the good stuff till now. Okay, it was an absolute miracle. What is so funny to me about this conversation, and Margie's going to smirk when I say this, but what was so, because I brought this up many times over the years, okay, what was so funny about this to me is that during the interaction, Jesus calls his mom woman. Okay, again, you know, I'll get to the fun part here. But she comes up to Jesus and says, son, they ran out of wine. And she kind of, and I'm paraphrasing, but kind of wink, wink, they ran out of wine, Jesus. You know, like a mom would do. You know, somebody needs to take the trash out. You know, that kind of a thing where you have something that you're anticipating that they will do about it. Okay, so she comes up and says, son, they've run out of wine, and implies that you can handle this. You can do something about it. And Jesus' response is, woman? And I'm emphasizing that word just for fun. He says, woman, what have I to do with thee? For mine hour is not yet come. Okay, woman, how often have I said that just jesting to my wife? It's kind of funny. That passage cracks me up because of the way that he calls his mom woman. To this day, I would probably get smacked if I called my mom woman. Okay, not even my dad knows, and he taught me young, you don't call your wife woman. Okay, but when you study that passage, you find out that Jesus was not really being derogatory. Okay, in that sense. Okay, when Jesus was saying, woman, what have I to do with thee? He was essentially saying, hey, mom, it's okay. I've got this. In other words, when he said, what have I to do with thee? He said, what do we have in common here? You know that I can turn the water into wine, and I know that I can turn the water into wine. He's saying, you don't have to tell me, mom, okay, is what he was saying. Okay, and if you know the rest of the story, you know that Jesus did take care of that situation perfectly, right? And the end result being that his mom was pleased and honored as well, okay? Because his mom was instrumental and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And so he said, fill some water pots with water. You know, his mom was kind of helping with the miracle. And that's when he says, what have I to do with you? He's saying, I got this. Let me handle it. But that interaction, again, it makes me smirk. It's kind of a funny interaction between the two of them. Okay, well, Jesus knew a lot about honoring the mother and the father. Okay, that was something that just based on previous scriptures and things that Jesus had that were in place at that time, even one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses, one of them that's actually listed before thou shalt not murder or thou shalt not steal is one in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, where it says this. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Do we have Deuteronomy 5, 16, Isaac? It says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, so that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Okay, now this is one, like I said, this was kind of one of the commandments, but the scriptures are full of, if you look up the reference to mothers in the Bible, in the King James, it was several hundred times there are references to mothers in the Bible. Okay, they played a huge role in where we're at today, and God knew that, so it's very much included. In fact, I want to pull up three here from Proverbs, starting in the very first chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. In other words, the words, the implications that thing that moms have with their kids is something that was not only an ornament of grace, something that will be a huge blessing, but he called it like a chain about your neck, meaning it's something that should always remain, is that honor towards your mother and father. Proverbs 10, verse 1, it's starting with the Proverbs of Solomon, and it says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish and self-confident son is the grief of his mother. Okay? We don't want to be disrespectful and those kind of things. Proverbs 23, verse 25 says this. It says, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Okay? In other words, be a blessing unto your mama. Okay, and yet, when I see all these scriptures, like I said, there's many, many scriptures along this line, but I notice that in the teachings of Jesus, that he projects this idea that as high as you esteem your mother, that you should also esteem others in the body of Christ, and only God is esteemed to a higher place in your devotion. Okay, so all this emphasis on mothers, and yet Jesus begins to compare that to our relationship with one another and sort of puts it on an equal plane that, yes, honor your mother, because all of us have mothers, we can relate to that. And so he's saying, yes, we honor our mothers, but you also honor other people at that same level. And I'll show you this in the scriptures. Okay, Jesus spoke about mothers in a way that should really help you to keep your priorities in order about how to treat other people and how this works. Look in Matthew chapter 10. I'll start in verse 34. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Okay, now that's a pretty strong statement by Jesus. I'm sure a lot of people were offended by that. Man, I'm close with my mom, I'm close with my dad, or my son, or my daughter. And yet Jesus is saying that if you love them more than you love him, you're not worthy of his relationship with him. Jesus was literally saying that there are relationships in your life that you have that will be strained by your relationship with Jesus. If you haven't figured that out, okay, it's a reality. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, Paul said. Okay, we go through a relational change when we devote our life to Christ. Things change. It is not the same as it once was. My relationship with my family, many of you know that after I gave my life to Christ, got on the phone the next morning and started calling my family, said, "Hey, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." They said, "Good for you." They knew I needed something, right? Life was a mess. They just said, "Good for you," and left it at that. Okay, well, over time, I began sharing Christ, and I could not contain what Jesus was doing in my life. And I began to tell them and preach and get to the point that at one family gathering, I was asked to leave. Okay, they did not want me there because I could not. I just, you're going to hell. I mean, that's basically, it was early on in my walk. That's what I was saying in a roundabout way, is that you got to have Jesus or you're going to perish. The Bible says, God's word says, and started trying to share that. And God took me home. And that day I went back to the place I was staying at a friend's house. And so I went to that friend's house and I flipped open my Bible, you know, kind of that random thing you do when you're a young Christian, you flip it open and God's going to speak to me. And I flipped it open and it was the exact scripture and passage where Jesus said that you are not without honor except in your own hometown. Okay, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, Jesus told me this was going to happen, and it sealed the deal for me. It's okay that they're upset with me and that we're going through this. Okay, now, to this day, my brother came to Christ, sister, all these people, things have changed in my family, and I can get along great at this point. Okay, but that was one of those times that it was an eye-opener to me that life is now different, to the point some of my relationships that I had needed to change a little bit. Okay? The King James word language in this verse says that Jesus has come to, quote, set at variance a man against his father or a daughter against her mother. Okay, to set at variance means to literally set out a marker. Okay, and it can be like there's a huge pothole in the street and someone sets out a marker or sets out orange cones around it. Okay, so that it's kind of like a warning so that no one will hit that hole. Okay, well, to set out a marker or to set a variance can also be like a bunch of a way to guide people in the right direction. Like, say, have you ever gone to like a country wedding? Okay, it's out in the middle of nowhere, but there's little balloons tied to a stop sign so that people know where to turn to be able to get to the reception or where to turn to go to this country wedding. Okay, that is setting a variance in a positive way, that I'm going to put something out as a marker to guide people in the right direction. Okay, well, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is saying that your relationship with Him will at times put out a marker, okay, of separation. It'll be a point for people to follow, but it'll also be kind of a, in some ways, it's a marker of warning that there are people that simply will not hang out with you. Okay, I went to some meetings this week, and one of the guys is famous for telling everybody that I'm a preacher. Okay, he even says, he's kind of crass and whatever, and he says, "I brought my preacher along to keep me in line." And so as soon as he tells people that, there are people that are like, "Oh, he's a preacher?" And they will begin to just go off in a different direction. I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable with Jesus. Okay, so it doesn't bother me at all. But I'm just saying that there is that marker that is there. As soon as they know that, oh, he's a pastor, a preacher, okay. And it puts out that marker of variance. Okay, well, we know that having a relationship with Jesus is going to put some sort of variation or some sort of a marker between maybe you and someone you love simply because they do not believe on Jesus. Okay, and that's all that is. If they knew what you knew, you'd be best friends, like me and the guy sitting at a table having lunch together. Okay, we connected instantly because we both had Jesus. Okay, well, we know that Jesus loved mothers. Okay, we know that he honored mothers. So his statement here is his way of letting us know that when Jesus is your highest priority, some separation may take place, and that's okay. And at times, it may be necessary. Okay, that same marker is what made the friends that I was using with and partying with and doing all that stuff not want to be around me anymore. It was that same marker, that variance that was set between me and them. And that's what helped get me through that time. I didn't have those negative friends anymore. Okay, well, all of this corresponds with other teachings of Jesus, where he taught that we should sincerely count the cost of following him. Okay, this isn't, Christianity isn't some social club that we get into and that we can just leave whenever we feel like it or whenever we don't really like the way it's going. Okay, becoming a Christian is a lifelong commitment to honoring Jesus Christ above all. Anybody say amen? Or is that an oh me? Sorry to be in this club, I can't get out. I hope not. I hope you love being in the club. I hope you love being a Christian. Okay, being in the kingdom of God, the family of God. Okay, this is something that my wife and I actually established early on in our marriage. Okay, that I will love her. I will cherish her. Okay, until death do us part. But I will love and cherish Jesus even more. Okay, it is something that, likewise, my wife, I know that she loves me. Okay, she does. And I know that she loves me very much. And yet I will always pray for her and encourage her to love Jesus even more than me. Okay, that's part of what that responsibility that we have for one another is, always pointing people to setting Jesus at a higher plane than they do even our personal relationship. Okay, now before we finish up this morning, I want to show you one more interaction between Jesus and his mother. It's something that I think will help you with this priority thing that I'm talking about. Okay, it's written in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's written in 3 out of those 4. So that tells me that it's something God does not want us to miss. Okay, God wants us to get this. Look at Matthew chapter 12, and we'll read 46 through 50. This is Jesus. It says, "While he," Jesus, "yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without," that means outside, "desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren are outside, they desire to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Okay, 3 different men that were close to Jesus took note of this scene. Okay, they're almost word for word when you read it in the Gospels. Okay, they wrote about this because there was something that the Lord wanted us to get from this about mothers and families and the kingdom of God. So what is it? What does he want us to get from this passage? We know that God wants us to honor our mothers and fathers, okay, our brethren, brothers and sisters. It was literally, like I said, one of the commandments God gave to Moses, Mount Sinai. Jesus even quotes that commandment as he's teaching about the Word of God and adhering to it. He resorts back to saying, the Bible says, or you know, the Scripture says, to honor thy father and thy mother. But yet it seems like in this passage that he kind of disses his mom. Okay, is that a word? Dismisses? Disses. It'd be kind of like we're in church, and so many people start coming in and all the seats get filled up and it gets to the point where it's literally shoulder to shoulder packed service. Somebody say, so be it. Yes. Right? We want that. Okay, but it gets to that point where it's packed and there's all these people are in here, and all of a sudden out here in the parking lot shows up my mom and my brother and my sister, and they start passing the word in through the people. Hey, get the word in that we want to come in and visit with Gary. Okay, and rather than saying, oh, okay, yeah, make room for my mom, make room for her to come in, I say, no, these are my brothers and sisters. This is my mother here. This is who is important to me at this moment. The message Jesus was giving is that these are the people that came to hear the gospel. He never lost sight of that call that he had. So even though his mother and brethren were coming and wanting to speak to him, they might have wanted to talk about their cousin's wedding that was coming up and making plans, or who knows what they wanted to share with him. But at that moment, he said, "These are my brothers and sisters and my mother right here in this room." Okay, so what is the message in that? It is that your spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ are seen as just as valuable as your mother or your brothers and sisters in the natural. Okay, now that's, like I said, it'll sit wrong with some people. But Jesus, if you look at his teachings, it's over and over again. He wants us to get this. Family is way up there important. But a relationship with him and in the family of God is actually on that same level. Okay, it's on that same plane. If we feel the need to make special provision for our earthly family, okay, we go out of our way, right? Make things happen. Our brother comes to town, man, he's going to stay with us and we're going to feed him. He's not going to have to do, you know, work or anything. We're going to take care of him. Okay, if we make special provisions for our earthly family, we should be just as willing to make sincere and in-depth provision for our church family and other believers within the body of Christ as well. Okay, that's the message that's written in the scriptures. Jesus' love for his fellow brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God was just as intense as his love for his own mother. That says something. Okay, that's a powerful message for us about our spiritual family that we entered into when we received Christ. Okay, the bond between us is seen as just as valuable in Jesus' eyes, just as worthwhile as our relationship with our earthly family. You know, I worked a few years back as in a particular company that was a family-owned and operated company. Okay, and I picked up pretty quickly that there was sort of an awkwardness to working there, because there was a separate set of rules for the family than there was for those who were not part of the family. In fact, it kind of created this us against them mentality that was kind of always a part of that company. It got to the point where, you know, you would see somebody from the family doing something a particular way, and as soon as you would start doing it thinking that must be acceptable, then you'd get chewed out for it. Right? It was one of those kind of moments, one of those awkward situations. In fact, it went from awkward to being more downright frustrating because there was a different set of rules. What I see Jesus doing here is evening, like Pam just said, it leveling out the playing field, okay, a little bit. Okay, so that there wasn't like a set of rules for this and a set of rules for this. He leveled that playing field out. Okay, Jesus, if you look at him, treated the rich the same way that he treated the poor. In fact, sometimes the poor seem to get treated a little bit even on the better side. Okay, we see that Jesus interacted with doctors and teachers the same way that he did with fishermen and tax collectors. If they needed something said, he said it. Okay, he confronted Peter. Peter was one of his closest buddies. He also confronted the Pharisees and the religious and some of those guys. Jesus was willing to treat everyone the same. Jesus loved spending time with his fellow believers just as much as he did spending time with his own family in the flesh. Okay, now, do we have priorities? If you know me, I've probably said them many, many times. Yes, we have priorities. We have God first, right? Then we have our spouse. Then we have our family. Then we have our church. Then we have our job. Okay, but the key to that is that God leveled that out. So it's not God is up here, and your church, you know, your family's down here, and then your church family's down here somewhere on the floor, okay, and then your job comes after that, right, under the ground. Okay, that picture, this kind of a picture, going like this, where it's more like we have God up here, and down just a little bit is our spouse, and just a little bit more is the family, church, job. there's not that big gap between number one and number four. Okay, that's the point he was making, is that there's not this treat other people differently to this point that everyone's going to be able to see and notice. It was, there's such a minute difference in the way that we treat our spouse. In fact, Jesus said, love your spouse like the church, okay? Or to esteem others better than you, or all these things that Paul said. There's all this instruction that says it's not big gaps between how we treat people. We should treat everybody, if God is right here, and we're just barely treating people a little bit different than we are God, it's going to be awful hard to notice that we are not treating our friends, family, our workplace, our employer, our church. We're not treating those people very much different than we are God. Okay, we honor them, we respect them, we take care of them. Okay, so spend some time this week as you go through it and think about your relationships. Think about who you interact with and how you go about it. Okay, I'm not boasting on myself, but I know that I see this stuff in the scriptures, and it makes me want to treat those people that are the servants, you know, the essential workers. I found these kids at this conference that I went to. They were called interns or pages. Okay, and they were high school girls is what they were, but they had an instructor that was with them. And just out of chance, I saw that this is where they were hanging out. They were in this kind of a cafeteria thing. And I stopped in on purpose to ask them questions about how they got to do what they did and whatever. And I kid you not, I made those kids feel pretty special. Because here's this guy that somebody else had pointed out as a very important man. Okay, I had the name badges. I had all this stuff on. Looked like I was supposed to be there. And I was taking way time out of this conference to be with these guys for 10, 15 minutes and find out who they were and more about them. Okay, when I left on the way back last night, I stopped and went through a drive-thru to pick up something so I could get home quicker. And I'll tell you what, it was prom night in Casper. And I saw all these fancy cars and people getting out with their fancy dresses and tuxes and all that stuff. And I went through this drive-thru and the girl behind the window looked like she was of high school age and she's working. I made that girl feel special. I talked to her. I carried on conversation. Not pointing out, sorry you're not at prom. That was on the tip of my tongue, but I didn't do that. I was like, I wanted to say, I respect you. You're doing it. You're working through this. And I appreciated her. What I did was make her feel special for being who she was. Okay, and that's what Jesus did. Okay, he didn't treat one better than another. Okay, and that's what I'd ask you to do this week. As you're ask yourself, as you're going through these relationships, are you treating some people better than others? Or are you treating people the way that Jesus did? Okay, treating people the way that you want to be treated. Treating your brother or sister in Christ with the same kind of honor that you would treat your own mother. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be treating people the way that he treated them. Amen. Father God, we are praising you this morning. You're always good. Father, you love on us. You care for us. I thank you that you show us things like this, Lord, to help us. To help us to live out our life that you've called us to, this Christianity, this life as a believer. And that, Father, we can see and acknowledge all these things that you've put in there and live accordingly. Father, I thank you for showing it. I thank you for revealing it. Father, sometimes it doesn't feel good, but I thank you anyway. Thank you to help me to live and to be more like your son, Jesus. Father, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen.